about the storms we face. Because I'm wondering if you can relate to what the disciples were going through that day. Perhaps this is right where you're at right now in terms of your life. By that I mean the seas of your life, the circumstances of your life are churning. There are storms in perhaps a relationship or two. Maybe there is rocky waters in terms of finances. It could be so many things that might be doing it that this might stand for. Losses, pain, that seems like they're going to sink your ship. You feel like you're taking on water, so to speak, and no matter how hard you try to bail, you're losing ground. Perhaps you feel like disciples that day when they cried out, "Master, I'm perishing. We're going to go under here, Lord. Unless you do something, we're going under." I encourage you to take comfort. The Lord had no intention of letting them go under. And the same is true for you. He has no intention of letting you go under. Oh, I know your circumstances may not look like that. But from this morning, I pray you'll be encouraged. See, the Lord uses this as a life lesson for them and for us. Yeah, He's going to minister to them and their circumstances and all, but there's something they and we are to gain from this that goes beyond the current storm. I pray we'll learn that lesson. He taught the lesson through a question. It's in verse 25. Where is your faith? That's the key for them and for us. So I've called our time together this morning. Where is your faith? Let's pray. Lord, you know us inside out. You know us better than we know ourselves. You not only know our yesterdays, but you know our tomorrows. You know the storms that we have, are, or will be facing. And in your love, something you want to say to us about these storms, something that a heart view, a way of living that you give us, that we can not only survive but be victorious through the storms. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. You see each pain, each hurt, each loss, each concern, and you love us. Lord, speak to us now. Speak to these stormy seas that our hearts can be. Lead us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Because it is a well-known portion of Scripture, because there's so much in a chapter like this, I, of course, pray over what I'm going to be sharing. And I'm being right up front with you. I really struggled with where to go with this today. Tim can tell you that. Tim, our worship leader, and all he was asking me, what are you going to be sharing from this weekend? And I said, well, it might be this, it might be that, because there's so much in here. But even through last night, I just kept being drawn to and thinking about some of the things that I realized some of you are going through. Being a pastor here, I have the privilege of becoming aware sometimes, not of everybody's, but of some of the concerns and storms that you face. Because of the things I see come down the prayer chain here. Because of what I become aware of through counseling or just various circumstances that go on. And I'm not saying right now is any particularly more than other times, but I'm certainly aware that there are some right now who are facing real storms, real loss, pain, relationships that are really rocky, a lot of things. There are a lot of storms. You know this. Isn't it a newsflash? When I say there's storms in our life, I didn't hear anybody go, "Oh, really?" You know very well that there can be storms, and my concern is some of you may be going through it right now. So I pray this would speak this morning. So I was just drawn to this well-known portion, yet given by the Lord because He loves us, and He wants us to get through these, and not just get through them, but to really learn and grow and be strong through them. Let's work our way through the passage. Look at verse 22. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Let's pause there. They were in dire circumstances, as far as they could tell. All things around them seemed to warrant panic, deep concern. Everything seemed to point to this conclusion they came to here in verse 24. Master, if you don't do something, we're going to sink. We're going under. Master, Master, we are perishing. Then in verse 25, we read this. Excuse me, let's finish 24. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Then he turns to them and he says, where is your faith? Jesus, after rebuking the wind and the storm and all, turns around and lovingly yet directly rebukes them. Where is your faith in the midst of all you're going through? In the midst of this whole thing, what was your reaction? What conclusion did you come to? Did you factor in faith? Did you factor in God and His abilities and all that He has and all that He is and all He's promised? Where is your faith really anchored? Well, how did they lack faith? Think on it for a moment. What should they have had faith in? How can they have faith in the midst of a storm like this? You may ask the same thing. Easy to say, Pastor. Easy for you to say, but you don't know what's going on in my marriage. You don't know what's going on in my work. You don't know what's going on with my emotions, what I struggle with, the depressions, the anxieties, the fears that seem to come up inside of me and I seem to have no control. You don't know about the storms I've faced, the loss I've had recently, the death of a loved one, all these things that can bombard us. They looked at this and their conclusion was, we're going under. And you're saying, where is our faith? Well, on what basis could they have had faith? It may seem like an easy thing to read over, but if we'll lay hold of the principle, it's going to help us a whole lot. In verse 22, what did Jesus say? If you have a red letter Bible, it sticks out for you there. In verse 22, what did Jesus told them when they got in the boat? Let us cross over to the other side of the lake. Well, that's real interesting, Pastor, but how does that help? Well, perhaps you've heard this before, but it's important to point out. They had the word of Jesus that they were going to the other side of the lake. When Jesus says we're going over the lake, there's no way they're ever going to go under the lake. And we need to remember that. We have God's assurances for our lives. Saying things like, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Saying, I have begun a good work in you and I'm going to complete it. He says the day is coming when we're going to be home and He'll present us flawless before His throne. The day is coming when we hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in. All these things He said. He had just said to them, we're crossing over. And when He says we're crossing over, there's no way they're going to go under. And that brings us to a key part of having faith in all that we go through. Do you lack faith? Do you desire to have more faith? How do we get faith? Where does faith come from? Well, one thing I'd like to point out, listen to Paul in Romans 10:17. Paul says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Dwight L. Moody, a great evangelist, said this, and I remember this from before, and I dug this quote out because it ministered to me, and I pray it'll minister to you. Somewhat of a long quote, but just consider this. Moody said, I prayed for faith and thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith did not seem to come. One day I read in the 10th chapter of Romans, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I had up to this time closed my Bible and prayed for faith. I now opened my Bible and began to study, and faith has been growing ever since. The role of hearing, knowing what God says. We've got to know what God says if it's going to be a compass for us, if it's going to speak to us, if it's going to steady us in our storm, we've got to hear Him say, we're going the other side of the lake. When I'm going over the lake. A key part of faith is who and what our faith is in. He says, where is your faith? Before this boat ride, Jesus had been teaching His disciples an important lesson. Now, I use the word teaching. Actually, in my mind, that's a mild word. He'd been hammering home a particular lesson. Turn back in chapter 8 here. Go back to verse 8. You see, through this earlier portion of chapter 8, Jesus had been telling the parable of the sower and the seed, and how a sower went forth casting seed on the ground. And He talks about how it landed on different kinds of ground, which in turn was why there were certain results for the seed. But as He was telling this, look at the end of verse 8. As He comes down the end of telling the parable, it says, when He had said these things, He cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Emphatically saying, hey, there's something you need to hear. And this isn't a casual hearing. It's an active hearing. It's a hearing with the intent of doing, is the idea. He who has ears to hear, Jesus crying out emphatically, "He who has ears to hear, let him really hear this." Well, then He goes on to explain the parable, how the seed is the Word of God, and the conditions of the soil that determine the results represented the conditions of people's hearts. And it's based on the heart that word, that seed, the Word of God finds, that would determine the result. The fruitfulness or lack of it was the condition of people's hearts. But look at verse 15 as He talks about the good soil. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, what? Having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Notice that. What this soil was like, it heard it, it found root, it kept it. It did it. Then He goes on to talk about, hey, if I've worked in your life, don't keep it under a bushel. You're a light. Shine out. He talks about being a witness, an example. Verse 18, as He continues this message of hearing. Verse 18, therefore, take heed how you hear. So He's continuing to hammer home this message of what you hear, how you hear, what you do with it. Look at verse 19 now. Then His mother and brothers came to Him and could not approach Him because of the crowd. And it was told Him by some who said, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But He answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who," what? "Who hear the word of God and do it." Who are His family? Who are His mothers and brothers? He says, those who hear. Hear what? Hear any old thing? No, hear the Word of God. Is that it? Is it stopped there? Hear the Word of God? No. Hear the Word of God and do it. Not hear the Word of God and think about it, contemplate it, agree to it. Yes, sounds fine to me. No, it's those who hear His word and do it. See, so it's a whole section of hammering home the importance of how you hear, who you hear, what you do with what you hear. Remember what Paul said? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's what Jesus is driving home here. You've got to hear it when He says, we're going to go to the other side, when you feel like you're not going to make it. You've got to know what He said. Now, it's His word. You can't come up with what you say. It's not you deciding it, and I'm going to stand on this, as if He said it, think we can make Him somehow come, you know, obey what we're telling Him. But when it's Him, when it's His word, then that's going to be a foundation for our faith. His word is sure. See, on that day on the lake, because it's right after this lesson's about listening and hearing and doing, that they take their boat ride. Well, that day on the lake, the disciples had His word, but they weren't remembering it. That's always a sure formula for struggle. is to forget God's word, his promises, his nature, his character. They weren't heeding it. They weren't really hearing it, the kind of hearing that leads to peace in the midst of our situations. What were they hearing that day? They heard the storm. They heard the wind. They heard their emotions. They could hear each other. And all those things serve to stir us up. We hear our circumstances. We hear other people. Oh, I don't know. Have you noticed that? Oh, I hadn't seen that. Oh, you're right. I don't know. Oh man, I don't know if we can make it. And all that, you know, we start getting our eyes on the waves and start saying these things to one another, and we bring each other down. It's what Jesus said that would have made the difference, but they had lost sight of it. What have you been listening to? What has more power in your life, the storm or the Lord? Do you listen to the wind or to the word? Now, when the disciples say to Jesus here in verse 24, "Master, Master, we are perishing," who is the we that they're talking about? It's all of them, including Jesus. It's a pronoun that includes everybody there. We, including you, Master. If you don't get up and do something, we're all going under. We perish. In verse 22, though, Jesus said, "Let us," same kind of thing, a word that described all of them, "let us go over to the other side." But now their fear is, us is going under unless you do something. They had Jesus saying they would make it, and that should have been enough. If your circumstances are saying one thing, and God is saying another, who do you think's right? Go with God. Believe God no matter what you're sensitive to. Now, I'm not making light of what we go through, but don't let them have the steering wheel. You know, commentators point out here, when they point this out to Jesus, that, hey, if you don't do something, we're going under, that means you too, Jesus. Interesting, I found this kind of interesting as I was doing some reading about this. The commentators point out that very well they might have thought, you know, that this we idea here, that we're going under, Jesus, if you go under, not only do we perish, but your plan perishes, in a sense. You know, you've been preaching all this, and your word's going out and everything, but if you go under, everything stops right here. That's the end of the whole program. You know, sometimes people, I think, kind of think like that can happen. Believers, we should stand for righteousness. No doubt about it. And when you have an opportunity to vote for a person or a ballot measure that is in line with Scripture, something that we can see that it's good and right, then yes, of course, vote for it. And when you see something wrong going on in the public arena, there's nothing wrong with standing up and saying, wait a minute, that's not what God would want, or whatever it might be. If you are frustrated with all the political correctness where they can't call it a Christmas tree anymore, it has to be a holiday tree. If you're frustrated with that, of course, you feel free to let people know, wait a minute, folks, we're gotten too far here. It's a Christmas tree. But in the doing of your voting or the expression of your frustration about that they want to have not mention Jesus in their greetings at the store and all, in your expressions of that, please don't act like Jesus is going to drown. Master, if you don't get Christmas back into that tree, the whole program's going under. Of course, stand for what's right, but you know what? Whether a store calls out a Christmas tree or a holiday tree, God is still on the throne. He's still at work. His plan's unfolding, and it's going to happen. Of course, we hate to see them, and we should stand and go, wait a minute. Well, you know, of course I can say Merry Christmas. You're not going to stop me from saying it. You know, but don't say it with this panickiness like, Master, your gospel's perishing. They took Christmas off their advertisements. Be careful how we come across sometimes. God's in control. But in particular, I just want to focus on the personal part of this. Where is your faith? If Jesus says something to you, you can bank on it. And if he says, we're going over the lake, you're going to see the other side of the lake. No matter what your circumstances are telling you, you will make it there. Now, I don't get to make up that and stand on it. It's what he says. But when he says it, it's in context and it's rightly interpreted, then there's our anchor. There's our place in the storm. But not only is it what he's saying, but even deeper is who's saying it. Read their response in verse 25 again. But he said to them, where is your faith? Remember, he just calmed the storm. And he says, where is your faith? Now look at it. And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? That they had to ask that is part of why they were struggling. Whoa, wait a minute. Who is this that's in the boat with me? He can calm storms? He can calm the wind? Yes. See, that's what we have to settle before all the other stuff will kick in. Before the power of the word will really mean what it should to you. Before you really find peace in that storm, you got to settle who's in the boat with you, believer. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then in verse 14, John goes on to say, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What's he saying there? God became flesh and walked among us. He was talking about Jesus. God was laying there asleep in the boat that day with them. He had a physical body at that point, and it got hungry. He ate, and he got tired. He slept, and we see him on this day. It's been a long day. And a pretty good storm. He's sleeping through it because he has peace. He knew they were going to get to the other side. So he's asleep there. They have to wake him up. He does this work. And he goes, what were you trusting in? Where is your faith at? Where is your faith? What does the storm reveal about where your faith is? And they go, whoa, who is this? Have you settled who this is in your life, believer? And that's the awesome thing. As you spend time with him, as you let the word find root in you and you grow in the knowledge of him and his nature, his character, it will increase more and more so just your faith and your trust in who you belong to. They should have remembered who was in the boat with them, but they'd gotten their eyes off it or they didn't realize it. It wasn't settled yet. They had the presence of Jesus. Yes, the storm was great. The circumstances looked tough, no doubt about it. But they had Jesus in the boat, and whatever happened to them was going to happen to him, and vice versa. Whatever happens to him will happen to them. The same for us. And therefore, he says, he assures you, believer, he's with you, won't leave you. He's going to be with you the whole journey, and someday you'll be home. That's for sure. Keep your eyes on who you belong to. Understand this. They said, Master, Master, we perish. Now think about that. What do we see Jesus do at that moment when they come and say that? Master, we're perishing. What does it say he does? It says he jumps up, looks around in disbelief. He can't figure out what to do. He yells out, abandon ship, everybody for themselves. I'll see you on the shore, I hope. No. But sometimes we act like that. Oh, what's going to happen? And where's it going? Does all this surprise him? No. Instead, he speaks peace to the seas, and he calms it. Now, I've found one of two things will always take place in the midst of storms. He'll either speak to the storm, or he'll speak to our hearts. He'll speak peace to the sea, or he'll speak peace to thee. One or the other is going to happen. And he does that as we heed, as we hear, as we do what he says. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." What was Jesus looking for in the men in the boat that day? He turned around and said, "Where are your great sailing skills? Come on, get with it. Pull yourself out of this. Where is your wisdom? Where are your cute looks? You know, whatever we think is going to get us through. Where are your social connections?" No. What was he looking for? Where's your faith? Where's your faith in what you go through? Without faith, it's impossible to please him, it says. Because that's what he wants to see in us. Abraham, of course, is pointed to as a man of faith, father of faith and all. And it was counted him for righteousness because he believed God and all. What does it tell us about Abraham? Well, just a real brief section here, Romans 4:20-21. It says, "He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." See, Abraham has settled an issue that what God has said he's going to do, he can do and will do. Have you settled that issue of who's speaking, who is speaking to us, and all that we find in him? Romans 1:17 says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." He's just looking for faith. Where is your faith? Where is your faith anchored? Not what you say, but what does the storm reveal your faith? Too often, when the situations come, it shows us that reality is our faith was anchored in everything going right. Or whatever that storm's revealing. The Lord in his love, remember, he loves them and loves us. In his love, he says, "Where is your faith? Be careful where it's anchored. What are you really about? What's the storm telling you?" You know, it says, I just read Romans 1:17, how there's this process of going from faith to faith, that we're to grow in faith. We're to live by faith and grow in it. And I have found that that's really a good way to put it. I have found that faith is like a muscle, a physical muscle. What I mean is, as we exercise it, it gets stronger, just the way it is. Now, for muscles to grow, get stronger, they need good food, and they need exercise. If I said to you that I've decided I want to really shape up, I want to get some big muscles going, I want to get these muscles strong, and let's say you're going to be my coach, you're going to be my workout coach, with the goal of we're going to get me strong and buff. So, I say to you, what do we do? And you go, well, here's what we got to do. You want to get stronger, get your muscles stronger? We got to have you start doing some exercises. And there's a weight machine in your future. Oh, man. I don't want that. Can I sit on the couch and watch TV and get strong muscles that way? What would you say if you're my weight coach? You go, well, that's not going to happen. You're not going to get strong just sitting there. You've got to exercise those muscles. Muscles get strong when there's resistance, when it has to push against something, when they have to pull and tug at something. That's how muscles get strong. Our circumstances are what the muscles of faith, that's the resistance in which they get strong. That's just the way it is. Because it's in faith that I discover him holding me through the storm. It's in faith that I find that he's the glue when everything else would pull me apart. You ever been there? Lord, if you don't keep me together, this is going to pull me apart the seams. But he does do it. And so, next time, my muscle's stronger. I don't think I can do 100 push-ups right now to save my life. But I could probably do 10. But if I kept working at it, build and build, right? Start with your app, but start exercising faith in whatever circumstance you come up against. Look for God in it. Trust God in it. Don't let the circumstances set the pace, but let God and His Word set the pace of how you're going to respond. Muscles need exercise, and faith needs exercise. And that storm, that trial, is the exercise. Will you gain from it? Will you be stronger for having gone through it? Will you know God better for it? Remember, the Lord has no intention of seeing you go under. You may not feel like it, but He knows what you can handle. He's the best exercise coach around. You might tell me something that if I go and do it, I'll injure myself and it won't work or something. But He won't. He knows. Now you might feel like, I can't do one more lap. He goes, yeah, you can. And when you're through, you're going, yoo-hoo, because you got through it in Him. He knows. He'll hold you through it all. And for it, you'll know Him better. But remember, I say it again, it's not faith in faith. What I mean, it's not just this somehow whipping up an emotion or... And it's certainly not what passes for faith in the so-called faith movement, this name it and claim it idea that you can come up with what you want things to be like, how it's going to go, and then claim it and God's got to do it. It's not where you can get yourself in a big jam and say, okay, God, now rescue me. Remember Jesus said, that's not... trusting God, that's tempting God. You don't jump off the cliff and say, now catch me, God. That's not faith. But when God has said it, and it's clear and it's in context, then that's your anchorage. That's where you can find that place of steadiness in the storms. So what are you going to listen to? The storms? The winds? What people say? Your feelings? Who are you going to follow? Notice something. Those in the boat that day got to see Jesus do a great work. They knew Jesus differently than the people on the shore for having been in the boat with Him. They got to see Jesus do a miracle in calming the seas around them. But they also got to experience a work in them as He said to them, "Where's your faith? Take this time," He says, and look at what were you trusting in. You need to make some changes to what you're trusting in. You need to quit giving the storms the power they've had, that circumstance. What are you going to believe? Who's in your boat? And what are you going to believe? There was an outer work and an inner work going on that day. You see, faith, well, let's put it this way. They were always going to get to the other side of the lake. Faith would have let them enjoy the journey. But their fears ripped them off. Fears kept them from enjoying the journey, or at least getting through the storm the way the Lord would have wanted them to. God's at work, and He's faithful, and He's doing certain things in your life. Are we going to go kicking and screaming? Are we going to go doubting and fearful and wondering? He's still faithful. He's still at work. But faith is to help us enjoy this journey more. Now, I'm not saying that the things we go through are fun. We go, ha ha, gee, that the doctor has this bad news for me or something. I'm not saying that. We face some rough pain and loss. But I can know Him in such a way that it won't pull me apart. It'll shake me, but not to the very core. Because at the core, He's right there in my boat. And I can turn and I set my eyes on Him instead of circumstances, and His loving gaze is on me, and He says, "I'm with you, Dale. And we're going to make it." And that makes all the difference. I trust you to know Him like that. He's inviting you to know Him like that. Jesus says all this for us. Where is your faith? In love, examine. What do these circumstances say about what you've been trusting in? Your wallet, your education, whatever it might be. Where is your faith really? Who are you really trusting? Look at verse 25. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" How would you answer that question today? Would you be bold enough to say, "Lord, show me how you answer that question for me. Where is my faith really? And if it's resting on anything or anybody but you and your word, Lord, change it. I give you permission. Change me and what I'm about." Up until the storm, it was only theory. He was hammering home, listen, obey, make sure it's the word of God, then stand on it. He who hears the word of God and does it, they're my mother, they're my brother, That's what you need to be about. That's your refuge. That's your place. But up until the storm, it's only theory. You know, for those of you who are in school or have been through school, which I suspect has been all of us, do you ever notice, now this may not always be true, but 99% of the time it's true, you know, after every lesson comes a what? A test. There's always those tests. Why do they have to give tests? It's to see if you're getting it. Why do I need to get it? Because you're building on it. And you got to understand it to move on. Well, he'd been teaching them and teaching them. But then came the test. It went from theory to reality. Where is your faith? You know, in life there will always be a test. The Lord knows that. We don't see a world that belongs to the Lord right now, and there will be storms in it. Maybe you're in a storm right now. I encourage you. You know, there was a man who was a very important mentor in my life, one of my two spiritual fathers. And I found that when interacting with him, he almost always had a nugget, a spiritual nugget to share, if you listened. Many people didn't listen, and I believe they missed out. But after a while, I kind of caught on to it, and I tried to realize that even if I just walked along talking, I tried to listen to him because he had spiritual nuggets. He was always setting out there that if someone was wise, they could glean from and learn. And sometimes he would share things, and they seemingly had no context for my life right then. But I tried to take it in. But I was going, wonder what that's about. Well, almost always by about middle of the week, that very thing would happen in my life. I'd go, how did he know that? Well, God knew it, and God was using him. And more than that, this man had a lot of ministerial experience. I started learning, you better listen, because either you've been through it or you're going to be through it if you're not in it now. Same for this morning. Maybe you're not in a storm right now. But life has storms. Where is your faith? What will that storm say about where your faith is anchored? I encourage you. See, the point in all this is that Jesus and his word in our hearts should result in faith in our lives. What will the storm find in you? Let's stand. Would you like prayer? Are you going through a storm today that you wish someone would pray for you? Don't leave today wishing you'd gotten prayer. There'll be prayer partners right here by the prayer room, and they would love to pray with you. Is there a storm coming? Probably, because life has them. Where will the storm find you? Get to know the Lord in such a way, and get to know His Word in such a way, that you're anchored on Him no matter what comes against you. How would you answer, where is your faith? Well, we answer that with how we handle the storms, how we deal with our trials. I encourage you, go out, have faith. I didn't say it's easy sometimes. I didn't say life is always a bowl of cherries. It's not like that. But through it all, He's faithful. And we can have faith in our journey. And that changes the very experience of the journey. Take heed of who and what you listen to and follow and obey. Heed Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Follow His word. Find out He's truly faithful. He's worthy of our faith. Father, in Your love, You have spoken this to our hearts this morning, because You do know what we're going through or will be. Thank You, Lord, that there's a path. Thank You that there's a place of refuge. Thank You that there's a calm in the midst of the storms. Thank You for that way You work. Lord, I just pray for all of us. Help us, Lord. When that question comes up, where is our faith? May the answer be, it's in You. In You, Lord, and in Your Word. Thank You. Thank You that we can know You in this way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
more love, more power, more of you in my life.